Welcome to Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We're doing this live because why not, right? There's a lot of things going on in the country, and it's a missed opportunity if you don't do this live. Very shortly, I'll have Raja Ahmad Iskandar Faris, the Communications Director of REFSA, joining the show and basically trying to unwind and try to unpack what has happened throughout the day. We'll bring in Iskandar very shortly, but of course, we have to unpack what just happened over at Consider This. We have Doc Midden, we have Howard Lee, both giving their very argumentative view of how things went down and how disappointed they were when it comes to the proceedings of the day. But before we jump into that, throughout this progression of the next half an hour, we're going to be talking about not just the parliamentary sitting, but of course, we're going to be talking about the revocation of some of the Emergency Ordnance Act. And of course, we'll start with our first story. The government will not extend the state of emergency after it expires this August the 1st. Speaking in the Dewan Rakyat, the de facto law minister, Dato' Sri Taqiyuddin Hassan, also said Putrajaya has decided to cancel all ordinances under the emergency proclamation. He revealed that the six ordinances drafted and enforced during the period were already revoked last Wednesday.
He said that the decision to revoke the laws was made effective after a joint cabinet meeting on the same date.
Kerajaan telah buat keputusan berdasarkan kepada perkara 1503 untuk membatalkan semua ordinan darurat yang telah dibuat semasa proklamasi darurat ini. Oleh kerana telah di-revoke, maka isu ungkai ataupun annulment sudah tidak lagi relevan.
The current emergency has been in effect since January 11th and is set to end on August 1st. Among regulations under the emergency ordinance include allowing compound of up to 10,000 ringgit for breaching MCO regulations and a fine up to 500,000 ringgit if found guilty of circulating fake news.
So joining us is Raja Ahmad Iskandar Faris, the Communications Director of REFSA, or the Research for Social Advancement. Iskandar, what do you make of that announcement? It created enough furor in the House. There's even a call saying that it's not even true. You know, those kind of allegations came up. But generally speaking, what were your just overall reactions on the first day of the sitting of the special session of the parliament?
Well, Graham, for the initial reaction is that it seems that the current government is adamant not to have any debates or voting session for this special parliamentary session. It appears to be somewhat afraid of facing the members of parliament, particularly in tabling any ordinance of the emergency. So this can be construed as them trying to backtrack or revoke the emergency without going through the parliament. If effectively, it's sidelining parliament as the one of the essential building blocks or important elements of democracy. But right now, what the message that it's sending or the signal that it's sending to the entire population is that they can do whatever they want at their whims and fancy without being accountable. So it raises more questions than answers. And I think the government needs to come clean and explain why they took such route.
You know, just minutes before, Muhammad Howard Lee of DAP of Perak was talking about the possibility or the need, not possibility, but the need for the speaker to be removed. He says that that is the keystone for moving ahead. And Sharad, in turn, was asking him, you know, how do you actualize this? How do you make sure that this can be done? Of course, he was saying that the House appointed the speaker. The House can also not appoint the speaker or remove him. But the reality is as such, where the minority voice of the House wants to remove the speaker. So yes, we know that this is happening right now in the country, But how do you actualize some functions to a point where we want greater transparency, we want greater democracy, knowing that the minority of the House wants this and the majority is not going to budge?
Well, speaking about majority or minority, it's funny that we are in this point of discussion because the actions taken by Muhyiddin and the PN government today reflect somewhat of a lack of majority on their part. They are not confident to present the ordinance or table the ordinance for a vote or any other measures for a vote in Parliament, instead opting for a briefing session, a week worth of briefing session with ministries and parliamentarians, instead a thorough debate and discussion of policies and measures ultimately needed to handle the pandemic. So that the current development or progress that we see today, the helter-skelter in the parliament, reflects that lack of majority on the part of Perikatan Nasional or Muhyiddin. What we see is Muhyiddin doesn't have the backing that he needs, or we can say that Muhyiddin suspects its allies would not give the support that he needs to pass any motion or any important or significant laws or ordinance through Parliament. So that's why they are trying to use other measures to achieve this goal. So the legality or the constitutionality of it has been discussed by many other people. But I just want to point out that the fact that this is taking place, that this is happening, signals Muhyiddin himself is not confident that he has enough support, enough numbers to push this through.
Okay, so the parliamentary sitting is still going to take place over the next 4 days. We're going to keep a close eye on that, but we're going to continue talking about some of the items that were indeed discussed in the parliament. We'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss more on the COVID responses that was tabled in the parliament earlier. We'll be right back after these messages. So this is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Joining us is, of course, Raja Ahmad Iskandar Faris, the Communications Director of REFSA. He's going to join us throughout the entire program. There's a lot of things that were discussed in the parliament. So today, in the parliamentary sitting, the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, says that the government is expected to see at least a few states to move from stage 1 or 2, where they are at right now, all the way to stage 4 of the National Recovery Plan as early as October. He says that the efforts are ongoing to ensure that the recovery plan goes on smoothly and on track. And on top of that, he says that the immunization program is going to be ensured to be executed well. Here he is talking about the subject.
Dari semasa ke semasa, kerajaan akan terus memantau keadaan di setiap negeri dengan rapi, termasuk mengambil langkah intervensi mengikut keperluan. Di samping itu, kerajaan akan tetap melaksanakan penilaian risiko, termasuk menilai kesediaan mana-mana negeri untuk beralih ke fasa kedua, ketiga dan keempat. InsyaAllah, dengan usaha berterusan untuk menggerakkan proses pemulihan dan program imunisasi yang sedang berjalan lancar, kita jangkakan kebanyakan negeri akan dapat beralih ke fasa keempat seawal bulan Oktober nanti, insyaAllah. Saya juga ingin jelaskan, kerajaan sudah memutuskan di sidang khas Majlis Keselamatan Negara, bagi negeri yang sudah berada di fasa kedua, ia tidak akan kembali ke fasa pertama. Begitu juga dengan negeri yang beralih ke fasa ketiga, tidak akan berpatah balik ke fasa kedua. Inilah kerana pendekatan PPN menekankan dengan izin exit strategy and no turning back.
Yeah, so Iskandar, as you can see, is rather confident that once a state has moved from one phase to the other, it will not revert back to the earlier state, meaning that if you have faced stricter restrictions, there is no possibility, quoting the Prime Minister's words, that you will face further restrictions if you have been moved from one state to another. There's a few things I want to unpack here. The first is, what do you make of that kind of speech? Do you agree with such a statement?
I think it's good that the current administration is moving away from blanket lockdown kind of approach and looking towards somewhat opening up the economy gradually and opening up communities and sectors gradually. But I think that there is some worry that the matrix or the threshold being focused at or focused on for these measures might not be precise enough for this sort of outcome or approach or strategy that they are looking at. Because so far, when we look at the PPN or the NRP, National Recovery Plan, it focuses more on daily confirmed cases. So yeah. Once your vaccination rate has reached a certain threshold, then you can move to a certain state as the next phase when your daily average of cases go down to a certain level. But we know from other experiences that living with COVID requires more than that. So imagine two scenarios. We can have a scenario where we have 30 or 40 plus cases, but low number of deaths and zero deaths or zero ICU admission. But on the other hand, we can have 10K or 5K of cases, but then high number of admission, and high number of deaths. So we need to ask ourselves which kind of scenarios is more preferable. It's better than the other. So of course, in a situation where we are living alongside COVID, we need to take into account that cases might be high, but we have to deal with it in the terms of mitigating the effects and impact, the adverse impact from COVID. So the emphasis, I think, instead of going into phases, should be relooking at how we restrict operation and reopen gradually from certain sectors. Moving away from the essential, non-essential classification to a more risk of transmission assessment for each sector and each community and premises.
You know, on top of that, you know, we know that it's putting a strain on our national health system. Coincidentally, today the doctors did go on strike. Some numbers did come up to 45% of doctors employed by the Ministry of Health is actually under contract. And, you know, I previously thought that the number was far, far smaller, but it seems like it's actually nearly half of all the doctors being employed by the Ministry of Health. So this needs to be resolved rather quickly. Coincidentally, Langkawi MP and previous former Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir did also speak up on the issue. However, he was actually defending his record. He says that the issue of doctors that were put on contract was not much of a problem during his administration. However, he says that this was indeed a problem that needs some sort of resolution. Here he is talking about the issue.
Well, contract doctors are a normal thing. Certain periods we do have contract doctors, but over a certain period of time, they should be given permanent posts in the government. They are performing all the work of an ordinary doctor, but they are not given all the perks that doctors, medical officers get. I think the government should consider giving them contracts after passage of certain number of years. But here they have been there for a long time. They have been performing the work of a doctor as well as the other, those who are already in government service, but they are not given the same treatment.
So, you know, defending his record is one thing, but trying to solve the problem is, of course, another. Late last week, the government did give some sort of concession i.e., the confirmation of a further 2-year extension of a contract once the 5-year ends, with a clear pathway to postgraduate studies. But the Malaysian Medical Association says that this is not enough. It's not nearly enough, in fact. That's why the doctors did protest earlier today. Iskandar, what do you make of this?
So there is a need to increase the number of doctors, the permanent doctors. And for contract doctors, it's unfair for them. It's unfair to them if we expect them to give top-notch service but not pay commensurately. So it's a top priority to address the plight of these contract doctors across different levels of services, pharmacists, medical officers, dental officers, and the doctors and nurses. So we need to, when we are fighting COVID in a war-like manner, we can't expect to pay our soldiers at the front line peanuts when we expect more and more from them. So going back to this strategy of living alongside COVID, it's one of the fundamental that we need to increase or enhance the capacity of our healthcare to be able to handle current outbreaks while also prepare itself to manage future outbreaks or any pandemic, any waves that comes to our shore. This includes ramping up the manpower and also capacity of the infrastructure in our healthcare system. So this also ties back to how Parliament itself plays a role in this, because we need more funding for this sector. It's not just about giving them extension of contracts, but they need job security as well. We can't just extend the contracts to them without any clear career progression. That will be very detrimental to them and very it diminishes their spirit to fight alongside this this combat against the pandemic. We've seen in the recent weeks many contract doctors quitting because the lack of progress in this manner. So addressing the issue of healthcare is important. For that, without doing that, we can't really expect to reopen our economy safely. How do we expect to be able to live close to normal if we don't have the systematic end-to-end testing and treating and also supporting infrastructure on hand to support our reopening of the economy?
Right. One more break before we conclude our conversation of this evening regarding what happened today. We'll be right back after these messages. So we're talking about the events that took place today, and joining us is Raja Ahmad Iskandar Faris, the Communications Director of REFSA. The final item that was being discussed is the Leader of Opposition, Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim. He made several claims in the August House earlier today, one of which is accusing the Prime Minister of not complying with the statement that was given by the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. He says that the parliamentary sitting is not in accordance with it. But more importantly, we have to circle back to what was mentioned earlier on in this show, which is the announcement that Takiuddin made, the law minister. And in this sense, Datuk Sri Anwar, the Leader of Opposition, was talking that such a major decision policy should have been debated in the parliament. Here he is talking about the issue.
Memaklumkan bukan dengan pengumuman begitu. Pengerusi sedia maklum tentang proses parlimen ini. Dia tak boleh buat umpamanya hari ini kita umumkan kita istiharakan darurat. Dan datang sesi lagi kita dah batalkan minggu lalu. Ini pasar malam ke? Tidak boleh. Saya nak lihat kertas.
The announcement by Takiuddin came as a shock for the MPs, since there were no prior announcements and there were legal implications to the revocations.
So, Iskandar, pasal malam, Iskandar, what do you make of this? Do you agree with the leader opposition?
Okay, so to address that, we should go back to the reason why people are asking for this parliamentary sitting. So, among others, this is not exhaustive, is that people want a parliament session to refine pandemic management measures, number one. Number two is to debate emergency ordinance, which we now know that it's been revoked outside of parliament. And number three, people want to hold the ministers and the government accountable. We have been going on for 6 months, almost 6 months, or just around 6 months of a period without any parliament sitting. So this is the time when people want to us to put these ministers accountable for their performance or lack thereof for the past 6 months. So there is a lacking of opportunity because there wasn't any opportunity to debate properly. What we see today is a dispute on procedures, which happens because of that lack of opportunity. And I'm afraid because of that, it affects the overall quality of deliberation on a more important policy that relates to pandemic management. So this includes how do we give our contract doctors more the permanent positions? How do we solve this problem for the pandemic, for the frontliners? How do we gradually reopen our economy? How do we make sure our population can go to work safely, make a living, continue to make a living safely with more stringent measures at the workplace itself? So this, all these issues needs to be discussed. We can't just go on in a sense where, let's say in the future, where we get to a threshold of 40% vaccination and get to phase two and move on to phase three, then suddenly we see a rapid surge in cases. We lock down several places through EMCO because of our over-reliance on vaccine and lockdown. There needs to be a change. SOP shouldn't be just about locking areas down or preventing from preventing people from making a living, but it's supposed to facilitate people to earn a living, to go to work, to be able to operate their businesses in a manner that is safe, because we have imposed SOPs like ventilation guidelines, regulations at workers' quarters, regulation to facilitate.
Iskandar, final question, Iskandar. Do you expect more of the same the next 4 days?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Do you expect more of the same, this helter-skelter situation to be the experience in the parliament in the coming days?
Yeah, definitely. Because the outlet for productive debate is not being given to the MPs. So I think they are taking this time to raise up all the issues that they can within this 5 days. So the overall purpose of this parliament session has been derailed because of the way it's planned. So
all right.
I impose the government to reconsider and open up more parliamentary session in the future.
Thank you very much. That was Raja Ahmad Iskandar Fariz, the Communications Director of RevStar. That's all we have for you on Notepad. Continue to stay with us on Astro Awani. We're bringing you all the live coverage of the parliamentary proceedings in the coming days. Thanks very much. My name is Ibrahim Sani.